Krishna Book, Canto 5, Parakiya Rasa, Chapter 46, Scene 2, Radharani Talks with a Bumblebee. Uddhava understood that the gopis of Vrindavana were all simply absorbed in the thought of Krishna and his childhood activities. While talking about Krishna with Uddhava, the gopis forgot all about their household business. They even forgot about themselves as their interest in Krishna increased more and more. One of the gopis, namely Srimati Radharani, was so much absorbed in thoughts of Krishna by dint of her personal touch with him that she actually began to talk with a bumblebee which was flying here and there, trying to touch her lotus feet. While another gopi was talking with Krishna's messenger Uddhava, Srimati Radharani took that bumblebee to be a messenger from Krishna and began to talk to the bumblebee as follows. O bumblebee, you are accustomed to drinking honey from the flowers, and therefore you have preferred to be a messenger of Krishna, who is of the same nature as you. I have seen on your mustaches the red powder of kumkum, which was smeared on the flower garland of Krishna, while he was pressing the breast of some other girl who is my competitor. You are feeling very proud by touching that flower, and your mustaches have become reddish. You have come here carrying a message for me. You are anxious to touch my feet, but my dear bumblebee, let me warn you, do not touch me. I do not want any messages from your unreliable master, for you are the unreliable servant of an unreliable master. It may be noted that Srimati Radharani purposely addressed that bumblebee sarcastically in order to criticize the messenger Uddhava. Indirectly, Srimati Radharani saw Uddhava as not only resembling the bodily features of Krishna, but as being equal to Krishna. In this way, Radharani indicated that Uddhava was as unreliable as Krishna himself. Srimati Radharani wanted to give specific reasons why she was dissatisfied with Krishna and his messengers. She thus continued to address the bumblebee. Your master Krishna is exactly of your quality, for you sit down on a flower, and after taking a little honey, you immediately fly away and sit in another flower and taste. You are just like your master Krishna. Krishna gave us the chance of tasting the touch of his lips, and then he left altogether. I know also that the goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, who is always in the midst of the lotus flower, is constantly engaged in Krishna's service. But I do not know why she has become so captivated by Krishna. She is attached to Krishna, although she knows his actual character. As far as we are concerned, we are more intelligent than that goddess of fortune, for we are not going to be cheated anymore by Krishna or his messengers. According to expert opinion, Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is a subordinate expansion of Srimati Radharani herself. As Krishna has numerous expansions of Vishnu Murtis, so also his pleasure potency, Radharani, also has innumerable expansions of the goddess of fortune. Therefore, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, is always anxious to be elevated to the position of the gopis. You foolish bumblebee, you are trying to satisfy me and get a reward by singing the glories of Krishna, but it is a useless attempt. We are now bereft of all our possessions. We are away from our homes and families. We know very well about Krishna. We know even more than you. So whatever you make up about Krishna will be old stories to us. Krishna is now in the city of Mathura and is better known as the friend of Arjuna. Krishna now has many new girlfriends, and they are no doubt very happy in association with him. Because the lusty burning sensation of their breasts has been satisfied by Krishna, they are now happy. So if you go there and glorify Krishna, they may be pleased to reward you. You are just trying to pacify me by your behavior as a flatterer, and therefore you have put your head under my feet. But I know the trick which you are trying to play. I know that you are a messenger coming from a great trickster, Krishna. Therefore, please leave me. I can also understand that you are very expert in reuniting two opposing parties. But at the same time, you must know that I cannot place my reliance upon you nor upon your master Krishna. We have left our families, husbands, children, and relatives only for Krishna. And yet, Krishna did not feel any obligation in exchange. Krishna has left us for lost. So do you think we can place our faith in Krishna again? We know that Krishna cannot be long without the association of young women. That is his nature. Krishna must be finding difficulty in Mathura because he is no longer in the village among innocent cowherder girls. Krishna is now in the aristocratic society, and so he must be feeling difficulty in making friendship with the young girls. Perhaps you have come here to canvass again or to take us there. But why should Krishna expect us to return? Krishna is greatly qualified to entice all other girls, not only in Vrindavan or Mathura, but all over the universe. Krishna's wonderfully enchanting smile is so attractive, and the movement of his eyebrows so beautiful, that Krishna can call for any woman from the heavenly, middle, or plutonic planets. Mahalakshmi, the greatest of all the goddesses of fortune, also hankers to render Krishna some service. But in comparison to all these women of the universe, what are we? We gopis are very insignificant. Krishna advertises himself as being very magnanimous, and Krishna is praised even by great saints. Krishna's qualifications could be perfectly utilized if Krishna would only show us mercy, because we gopis are downtrodden and neglected by him. Oh, you poor messenger, you are only a less intelligent servant. You do not know much about Krishna, how ungrateful and hard-hearted he has been, not only in this life, but in previous lives also. We have heard all about this from our grandmother, Paunamasi. She has informed us that Krishna was born in a Kshatriya family previous to this birth and was known as Ramachandra. In that birth, instead of killing Vali, an enemy of his friend, in the manner of a Kshatriya, Ram killed him just like a hunter. A hunter takes a secure hiding place and then kills an animal without facing it. So Lord Ramachandra, as a Kshatriya, should have fought with Bali face to face. But instigated by his friend, Ram killed him from behind the tree. Thus Ram deviated from the religious principles of a Kshatriya. And he was so attracted by the beauty of Sita that Ram converted Shurpanakha, the sister of Ravana, into an ugly woman by cutting off her nose and ears. Shurpanakha proposed an intimate relationship with Ram, and as a Kshatriya, Ram should have satisfied her. But Ram was so selfish that he could not forget Sita Devi and thus converted Shurpanakha into an ugly woman. And before that birth as a Kshatriya, Krishna took birth as a Brahmana boy known as Vamana Dev and thus asked charity from Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was so magnanimous that he gave Vamana whatever he had, and yet Krishna as Lord Vamana ungratefully arrested Bali just like a crow and pushed Bali down to the Patala kingdom. We know all about Krishna and how ungrateful he is. But here is the difficulty. In spite of Krishna being so cruel and hard-hearted, it is very difficult for us to give up talking about Krishna. Not only we are unable to give up this talk, but great sages and saintly persons are also engaged in talking about Krishna. We gopis of Vrindavan do not want to make any more friendships with this blackish boy, Syama Sundara. But we do not know how we shall be able to give up remembering and talking about Govinda's activities. Since Krishna is absolute, then Krishna's so-called unkind activities are as relishable as his kind activities. Saintly persons and great devotees like the gopis cannot give up Krishna under any circumstance. Lord Chaitanya therefore prayed, O Krishna, you are free and independent in all respects. You can either embrace me or crush me under your feet, whatever you like. You may make me broken-hearted by not letting me see you throughout my whole life, but still, you are my only object of love. In my opinion, one should not hear about Krishna, because as soon as one drop of the nectar of Krishna's transcendental activities is poured into one's ear, then one immediately rises above the platform of duality, attraction, and rejection. Being completely freed from the attraction of material attachment, one gives up the attachment for this material world, family, home, wife, children, and everything which is materially dear to every person. Being dispossessed of all material acquisition, then one's relatives and own self becomes unhappy. One then wanders in search of Krishna, either as a human being or in some other species of life, even as a bird. It is very difficult to actually understand Krishna, his name, quality, form, pastimes, paraphernalia, and entourage. O Bumblebee, please do not talk any more about Krishna, for it is better to talk about something else. We are already doomed, like the black spotted she-deer in the forest, who are enchanted by the sweet musical vibration of the hunter. In the same way, we gopis have been enchanted by the sweet words of Krishna, and again, we are thinking of the rays of the nails of his toes. We are becoming more and more lustful for Krishna's association. Therefore, I request you, O Bumblebee, not to talk of Krishna anymore.
Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshamam. Krishna, 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 Ahima. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Ahimam. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Ahimam. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Ahimam.
All glories to Krishna Book. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.